Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome in. Wednesday, top of hour two, live in L.A., it's The Herd, brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. So Kawhi Leonard out indefinitely. Clippers fear, according to Shams Charania, Clippers fear an ACL tear. Okay, so we know he's probably out. He's out for game five tonight, going to be out probably game six, game seven, if they have it. You know, Joey, I was thinking about this. So there's a reason that somebody once created resumes. And that is, so let me look at your history. What are you consistently?
Yeah.
So that's why you have resumes. So you come out and you go, okay, this is what you do. This is what you do. This is what you do. I know what you do. I may not always know what you can't do. You're going to hide that. But I know what you can do efficiently. So when I hear this, oh, the Clippers, it's just bad luck. Nonsense. I don't think I'm a lucky guy or an unlucky guy. I think over the course of a lifetime, you get both. I've had some bad luck streaks and some good luck streaks. Kawhi and Paul George are exactly what their resume told you they were. What was Kawhi Leonard coming to the Clippers? Nonverbal, a little enigmatic, load management, and his health was always tricky. That's exactly what this story is. His health is an issue. What was Paul George? He's a great player, all-star. He kind of shrinks in playoff games. That's been his biggest problem with the Clippers. Their resumes told you what they were and kind of what they weren't. Both have happened in these playoffs. Kawhi's now hurt. Paul George has been inconsistent. It's like Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis was hurt constantly in New Orleans. When the Lakers acquired him, you're like, man, you can't trust Anthony Davis. Well, New Orleans couldn't trust him. That's what the resume told you. When Brooklyn went out and got KD and Kyrie, let's stay with Kyrie. He could be emotionally a little erratic. He took a sabbatical first week of the season, and he gets hurt a lot. Yeah, he's hurt again. It's exactly what he is. Harden's injury is a shocker. He never got hurt. Donovan Mitchell's a guy that doesn't get hurt. That's a little surprising, but both Harden and Mitchell are back. But Kevin Durant... oh, he was great last night. Kevin Durant's great all the time. And he's brittle. So when you start stacking up, you know, Jimmy Butler looked very frustrated at the end of the year with his teammates. That was his resume. Jimmy Butler got worn out by teammates. Philadelphia that couldn't get along, wouldn't put in the commitment of Ben Simmons. He got frustrated in Chicago with young players that wouldn't put in the time. Now he's frustrated with Tyler Hero, who got devoured by the Miami nightlife. So I don't believe in this luck thing. The Clippers' two stars have just become what they've always been. The timing stinks. The timing's bad. But Kawhi's, this is why he and Pop didn't work. He wasn't available all the time. Great when he's available. And Paul George now will be asked to go on the road in Utah, one of the toughest places to play basketball on the planet, and be a number one. I'm going to say he probably... over the next three games, we'll have a couple of stinkers. That's why we created resumes. All these teams, oh, our luck is terrible. Yes, there's bad luck. I mean, you know, I mean, like LeBron James losing Kevin Love and Kyrie in a finals. You know, the Raptors finals where KD and Klay get hurt. You're like, oy, oy, oy. But when you acquire people, you're not just acquiring talent. You're looking at their health. You're paying these guys $30 million. You're looking at their health. Are they leaders? Are they dependable? Are they in the NFL? A few years ago, I was in the Chargers war room for the first day of the draft, and I got to see their board. You know, they keep it under wraps until the draft. They wouldn't let me take any pictures of the board because they had little dots for players. They took off their board because of character issues. And they took 20 players, a couple of them great, who were drafted by other people off their board for injury issues. Two of them notable. What's happened to those two? They're now hurt in the NFL. So the Kawhi and Paul, the Clippers situation is what they signed up for. But the Clippers are the Clippers, so when Kawhi and Paul George say they want to be Clippers, you just accept it. You deal with that. Jim Jackson, 14 years in the NBA, Fox Sports NBA analyst, joining me live. He's been calling the Sixers-Hawks game 4 on Monday. Sixers-Hawks game 5 tonight, he's calling it. So, I feel like Kawhi's injury, to me, Jim, just changes the series. It now Donovan's healthy. Conley, I feel like it's a Utah series going forward. Your thoughts?
I totally agree, because unlike Conley in that situation, as much as Utah misses him, you still have Donovan Mitchell and you still have Rudy Gobert. You know, your best player and your second best player. And then Mike Conley kind of rounds that out. With Kawhi, you don't have that, because he's your best player. He's the guy that can take the game over. He's the guy that's won on the big level, MVP-type caliber, defensively, offensively. And you can't replace that, you know. And that's going to be the challenge in particular. And like you said, too, going on the road, which they haven't had success with Kawhi. Now you go on the road without him. Against a Utah team that all year has proven themselves to be the best in the Western Conference. And now you're asking a team that's depleted of their best player to go in there and win the game. Now, that's not saying that it's impossible. We've seen this before. A lot of things can happen from a Utah perspective that allows the Clippers to walk out of there with a W, but it's going to be a challenge.
Yeah. By the way, Kevin Durant last night, you know, it's interesting. If you ask most great coaches, either it's Belichick, it's Popovich, it's Kerr, it's Phil Jackson. What really defines a coach a lot of times in the NBA or professional sports is your ability to adjust. Eric Spoelstra I remember seeing him in series with those early Heatle teams in the first couple of years, and there were some real battles, and I really noticed his adjustments. I thought, that is a good coach. He is adjusting game to game. Milwaukee never really doubled Kevin Durant. And I'm thinking, I'm not saying I know more than an NBA coach, but Mike Budenholzer, that felt like a whiff last night as a coach, or is that too harsh?
Well, it depends on the game flow, because the common sense would say, take the ball out of KD's hands, make somebody else beat you. Okay, I get that. But the beauty about KD is this, is that like Steph, you can say that about Steph this year. Why not take the ball out of Steph's hands? He can beat you. Well, because you can move him around the board like a chess piece. He's just not married to bring the ball up. He can come off of screens. He's on the weak side. He can be the recipient of a quick swing. Make, you know, the adjustments. So with the offense, when you have a versatile player like a Kevin Durant, so it's just not as simple as, well, double team him and get the ball out of his hands, okay? At times you can, but Jeff Green was hitting, knocking down shots. I know Joe Harris struggled from behind the three-point line, but that young man, if he got hot, could hurt you. So I think you have to change up the defenses when you play against a guy like Kevin Durant to not allow him to get comfortable. But once again, Steve Nash has the great – I think it's not a dilemma. I think he has the ability with a Kevin Durant, unlike a lot of other superstars in this league, like Giannis. Okay, Giannis, he's one dimensional in regards to what you can do with him offensively. Kevin Durant is not. So it's a lot more challenging to double team and take the ball out of his hands.
That's fair. I was saying this about Milwaukee. Sometimes we just have to readjust our expectations. And that's okay. Like, you know, we there's a lot of these teams and we look at them and then, and you know this, you draft people in football or basketball, and after about 3 years, you're like, he's not quite as good as we thought. I look at Milwaukee and I think, look at all the breaks they've gotten. Kawhi left the East. LeBron left the East. The Celtics unraveled. Harden's hurt. Kyrie's hurt. Embiid's hurt. And I look at him right now and I'm like, you led by 19 at half. Harden's having his worst game as a pro. Kyrie's out, and you can't win last night. Like, I think to myself, Jim, we've now got to readjust what we think about Milwaukee. They're a nice team, but the ceiling, I think, is lower than I thought it was a month ago. Is that fair?
You know, Colin, it's funny because it's fair, but at the same time, this is what we thought coming in, that because of the acquisition of Drew Holiday, now in late game situations with Chris Middleton and Holiday, that would ease the pressure on Giannis trying to do something that he's not comfortable with, which is take over a basketball game, because offensively he's limited in some aspects because of his outside shooting or lack thereof. The issue is that, let's say Drew Holiday is playing like we saw him during the regular season. Is that a question about Milwaukee? Because now this is a different team and they may have won that game. But because that wasn't the case, now the readjustment is now another readjustment, because they adjusted by going to get Drew Holiday, you know, a Bobby Portis, to kind of help and relieve some pressure offensively from Giannis. Okay, and add defense to the table. And this Milwaukee team all year has proven that. But right now, the key component to me is that Drew Holiday hasn't been as consistent. We know who Giannis was. We know what he can and can't do, in particular in late game situations. Okay, we already know that. That's not really going to change, even though he's knocking down a little 15-foot shot every now and then in the three-point. That we know that. The key to me was Drew Holiday taking that team to the next level, because of what he could do offensively, and that just, especially in last game, just wasn't the case.
Yeah. By the way, you're doing the Hawks a series with the Sixers, and it's not getting a lot of national play because I don't think anybody thinks the Hawks' ceiling's very high. We're paying attention to the Sun, the Jazz, the Clippers, the Nets, and you know, there's you know, but we've always thought Philadelphia had talent, but we know Simmons and you know, Embiid don't get along terribly well. Simmons, and I missed on this. I've said for years, once a big is hurt early, they're hurt often, I would move Embiid before he has another big injury. I said I'd keep Simmons because I do think Simmons, if you surround him with three ball shooters and there's not a dominant big, he can score at the rim. There's value. There's real value. He's a great defender. He's a great passer. I can get 20 a night. But somebody else has to shoot the threes. Just don't give me a big in the middle to clog the lane. Let him finish at the rim. But there's something about Simmons that, and I've seen this before in other sports with other athletes, it's called indifference, is the greats are always tweaking. They're always tweaking. And he's regressing. He appears not interested in being a better shooter. And Jim, you know this. Some guys in this league, they're just happy to get the first big checks. Like, that's it. That it changes their life. When you watch Simmons play and you're doing these games, how can he not be a better shooter? I mean, can't you become a better shooter? He's too gifted not to become a better shooter, right?
No, I mean, and that's the challenging question. In the last game, he took one shot in the second half, zero shots in the fourth quarter. Even on the last play, Doc Rivers had to bring him out the game. He wasn't involved in the five guys on the floor to get the last shot. And that says a lot in regards to the trust they have in Ben Simmons in those situations. Now, keep in mind, they needed a three-point shot. He's not a three-point shooter, so he wasn't in the game. But look at this. I'll say this. Ben works on his game. He works on his free throw shooting. He works on his jump shot. The problem is, Colin, he leaves it on the practice floor. And what do I mean by that? Is that when he comes to the game, when the popcorn is popping and the lights are on, and he's not successful with that first jump shot right away. This is just me being around the game all these years. He doesn't see that instant success gratification. All of the work that he's put in now is out the window. It's gone. I've seen it before with guys where they knock down shots in practice, knock down shots, hit free throws, but then in the game they don't have that instant success. Now that they don't have the confidence. And with Ben, he's so passive. Think about it. When Embiid is not on the floor, this is a different Ben Simmons. I mean, now, not on the floor, meaning that he's out with an injury.
Yeah.
When Ben knows he has to be aggressive, he's a different player. But by default, when he has Embiid, he doesn't play the same. We saw it a couple games ago, 2 feet in the paint. He was downhill. He was rolling. But that's the – every now and then, I'm not going to say every now and then, Ben. That's the roller coaster, Ben. One game we'll see him be real aggressive. The next game we won't. That's the Pacific. He's so passive as a player at times. That's what frustrates us as basketball fans, because we see it in him, but we don't see it consistently enough.
Yeah, it's a little like Anthony Davis. When he's engaged, he's unstoppable. And
right.
You know, I don't know, I don't think you can coach that stuff. Like Michael Jordan's relentlessness, a coach doesn't get credit for that. Kobe's obsessiveness, a coach doesn't get credit for that. Like indifference, there's a lot of things a coach can do. I don't think you can coach indifference out of a player. Jim Jackson, doing Game 5 tonight, Sixers Hawks. You've been doing a great job on this stuff, Jim. I've been listening to all your stuff. Fox Sports, good seeing you again, buddy.
All right, good seeing you too.
Yeah, I mean, there's things you can coach, things you can't. And it's one of those things. I remember years ago, I was at a lunch, and there was a child psychologist. She was at lunch, and she was just talking with people, and I was just kind of listening to it. And I had young kids, so I was very interested in what she was talking about. And she said, 0 to 9 is everything. If your kids are loved, 0 to 9, their chances of poverty, crime, plummets. If they grow up in chaos, 0 to 9, you can be the world's best parent. In the nicest neighborhood, like, there's going to be issues. If they feel they have fear, they don't feel love, there's any level of you know, like abuse, even verbal. And so there's certain things you figure out as a parent you got to do early, because you're not going to be able to correct it. Like certain things get identified early or created early. And it's one of those things with indifference. My whole life I've been watching pro sports, and the kind of cool indifferent guy, you can't coach it out of him. Like that's just something that's developed early and not that often. You don't see it a ton. Most great athletes know they're great and they work hard and there's a payoff. They win titles, they get money. So much, you don't see it a lot. There's always a quarterback or two in the league that's a little cool and indifferent. And there's always two or three NBA guys you're like, I don't get it. But I don't know what you can do with it. Like I said before, I there's two or three things you just can't do anything with. Health, somebody's break, and indifference. Just know it going in with Ben. You're to be that gifted, and he can't shoot a free throw. Like, I could beat Ben Simmons at the free throw line. I'm in my mid-50s, and I would bet any money I could do it. Dead serious. That may be a segment on our show someday.
We might have to do that, yeah.
We will. Steven Jackson later this hour. Hustler Turf is one of the largest manufacturers of zero-turn lawnmowers in America. They've been doing it for over 50 years. This is a company that doesn't rest on their laurels. They have the Hustler Raptors, their most popular mower, and they even this year, not that they went back to the drawing board, but they said, let's make it even better. So they added Big Bite rear tires for better traction and a wider operator platform for more room for you to sit. This is a company with 1,000 dealerships, experts in the building. They know their mowers. If you're somebody that mows once a week, 2-3 times a month, you got some acreage, you got some space, or you're a company, check out the 2021 Hustler Raptor. Contact one of the 1,000 Hustler Turf dealers near you. You will feel the Hustler difference. HustlerTurf.com, HustlerTurf.com. The Hustler Raptor, completely redesigned with new features. Make it even better. Hustler Turf.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Saturday on Fox, Nolan Arenado and the Cardinals take on Ronald Acuna Jr. and the Braves or the White Sox battle the Astros or Reds Padres. It all starts at 7 Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Check local listings for the game in your area.
So this is not a big deal, but Tom Brady finished number one in the NFL. The NFLPA, the Players Association, came out with what they call like a hot list on what players do the best with social media. And social media is not really for people, you know, 60 plus, 50 plus. It's a young person's game. And Brady finished as the oldest NFL player, number one, ahead of young stars and wide receivers and cool guys. And I will say this. We all know that Brady's body has aged well. I mean, Breeze, Peyton Manning, Big Ben, they looked older. They played older. They had limitations on what they could do. So that goes without saying. But I do like the way Brady's aging. I remember when Brett Favre at the end, he got rigid and he got cranky. And I'm not going to learn a new offense. And I want to do it my way. I'm going to go now move to the South, get on my tractor, hide from everybody. And it was like, nothing against Favre, but like that's not an elegant way to wrap it up. Tom's like, I want a new coach, a new playbook, a new coordinator, new teammates, young teammates. I mean, Tampa's one of the youngest teams in the NFL. Brady's aging well as a human. Like, a lot of people want to go and retire in Palm Springs or Florida, live in a golf course, and that's what they do, and ride a golf cart around. There's nothing wrong with that. But I always have had a fear that I'll just get older faster. And I don't want to get older faster. I am going to retire either in near a college campus or in a city or somewhere in a mountain ski community. So I'm moving and I'm active at 7,000 feet and getting workouts. I'm not rooting to get old. Like, I like having energy. Some people just want to golf, and that's what they're going to do. It's over. It's cocktails at 4. It's bed by 8. It's Matlock. It's over. There's nothing wrong with that. People are very happy doing that. But one of the things about Brady that I really appreciate is that he's aging beyond football. He's aging really smartly. He's fun. He's active. He's growing. He's taking chances. He's around young people. He laughs at himself. You know, I remember years and years and years ago, you know, my late mother, and she was a funny, funny person until the end. Very funny and witty, a British mom. And one day she made a comment about politics to me, and I said, Mom, stop watching that garbage. I'm not going to tell you what she was watching, but I'm like, stop it. You don't want to end up crazy old cranky cat lady. Go be happy. Turn the TV off. Put some music on. Go dance in the living room. Be happy. You don't want to be old, crazy cat lady. She didn't like cats. She had dogs. But that is something. Like, that's how you're going to be remembered that last 10 years when you're screaming at kids on the lawn. And Brady's not like that. He's got young kids. He's fun. He's growing. He's active. New stuff. Forget the football. That's how you age. To me, that's an elegant way to age. You know what? Johnny Carson, last great show. Boom. I'm going to go play tennis. That's the way you do it. You don't want to be doing Winnebago commercials as a sportscaster. My teeth falling out. Do these dentures. Reverse mortgages. That's not going to happen. I'll never do a reverse mortgage commercial. It's never going to happen. I'll make a personal guarantee. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News, sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
I'll do a Mercedes commercial. Now that I'll do.
Yes, of course. Best. So the Bucks blew a 17-point lead last night in their 114-108 loss to the Nets. There's a ton of NBA news swirling about this morning, so we probably aren't really paying enough attention to the fact that that happened, which is a disaster. Right. Look, Kevin Durant had an incredible performance, right. But Charles Barkley is not letting Milwaukee off the hook for their collapse.
That was embarrassing for basketball. To lose that game, to have that. Like, you could tell they were going to lose the game at halftime. When you do dumb stuff and it works, you keep doing dumb stuff. You sit there, when they were doing dumb stuff in game one and game two, you're like, well, that's how they play, Chuck. We're like, so? They're killing them in the paint, but they're going to keep jacking up threes just because that's how they play.
Yeah, no, he makes a really interesting point, Joey, that when you win games, you can still coach when you win. Like, sometimes we think there's nothing gained from a loss and a win solves everything.
Yeah.
Milwaukee's shooting. Giannis should stop shooting threes. Like, there are certain things Milwaukee does, and they've won games doing it, but it's not very efficient.
No, that's 100% what can happen, especially throughout the regular season. You can be cruising and beating bad teams doing things you shouldn't be doing, playing not your game or, you know, not leaning in on fundamentals. And then you get up against a good team and you keep doing those things that worked against lesser competition and it ends up backfiring on you. Look, I'm with Nick Wright. The series isn't over. That was an incredible all-time performance from Kevin Durant. And we talked about it before the game yesterday that, you know, whatever happens with this game wasn't going to change Durant's legacy in any way. Like, we knew KD was possible.
Yeah.
Was capable of that kind of greatness. And he did it. He knew that they needed that game and he delivered. And like, that's why he's one of the greats, what we watched last night with that. But that shouldn't have happened. Like, even with Kevin Durant playing that way.
No.
Like, you are the healthier team. You have everyone. James Harden's on one leg. Kyrie's not out there. and you were up 17 points.
Yeah, it really is that we have to be. There are teams that get bad breaks. The Bucks have gotten a series of breaks over the last 2 to 3 years, and they're not getting better. Kawhi left, LeBron left, the Celtics unraveled, Embiid is hurt. Now the Nets are falling apart. You can't trail in a series. Like, this is a team that we just have to acknowledge their ceiling is lower than we all thought, myself included.
But also, if you like, Giannis had 34 points, 12 rebounds, four assists. Chris Middleton had 25 points. Jrue Holiday had 19 points. Like, everyone still contributed,
right?
And you still couldn't figure it out.
I think what Charles talked about and Nick Wright talked about, you could see Ben Simmons and Giannis in these playoffs, like, running from the ball. Like, they don't want, because they don't want to get fouled, and they don't, you know, Ben Simmons late doesn't want to get the ball in his hands because he didn't want to get fouled and go to the free throw line. Giannis had a couple of moments last night when he did a fall away against James Harden. You're like, timeout. You lean into James Harden and draw the foul. Giannis doesn't want to go to that free throw line. So, you know, there are, you know, you can, box scores are important.
Yeah.
But when a guy scores matters, and I don't trust Milwaukee late in games, I do trust Brooklyn late in games.
So Damian Lillard has been vocal about his commitments to the Blazers throughout his career. And after the season ended, he did express some frustrations about the team not being good enough to advance in the playoffs. But Enes Kanter still doesn't think that he will force his way out of Portland.
You know, one thing, he doesn't care about big market, small market. He wants to win it all in Portland. I mean, I'm saying this every time, you know, I talk about him, but he's definitely one of the most loyal, maybe the most loyal player in the league. And, you know, I think one thing about him, you know, people always talk about how good of a, you know, player he is, but he's actually one of the best teammates that I've played with.
So
I agree. I think he will try to stay in Portland.
The hypothetical that's interesting. In a weird way, the Galaxy's lining up for Portland. Kawhi's out. It's Paul George's team. If Paul George gives you a couple stinkers and the Jazz win this thing in six, Steve Ballmer's moving him. What do they need? They need a guard. Well, Portland's got CJ McCollum, and he is essentially, you know, the poor man's version of Damian Lillard. And Portland, people have been banging on Portland to make that move for years. What does Portland need? A wing. I do think Portland could give them. Portland's got draft picks. They've got a guard. They've got a young guard, Anthony Simons. I think if you're the Clippers, in a strange way, it's Paul's series.
You can't expect Paul to do this.
No. I'm not talking about.
I don't know that. I don't know. I think the injury changes things. I think if they lost this series, the Clippers lost this series, and Kawhi and Paul George are healthy, then yes, I would think they move off of him.
What if Paul George tonight goes 6 of 23? That's where Steve Ballmer goes, okay, I'm not saying he has to be KD. I'm not saying he has to be great because he's going to get doubled. But if he throws up the next two games, he looks overwhelmed.
Yeah, maybe.
Ballmer's not a patient guy.
Well, Portland has to do something. They've been swept in the first round, swept in the Western Conference Finals, losing 5 to the Lakers in the first round, and then lost to the Nuggets in 6 in the first round. Yeah. Like, that's been the last five years, the way that the season has ended. Like, with Damian Lillard, an all-time great. Like, you have to figure something out. Maybe that's the move. It would be certainly interesting, but I don't see Dame leaving, though. Like, that's the point. Like, I just think that Dame is going to finish his career in Portland. So Mac Jones has been impressing the Patriots during minicamp this week. He took the most reps of any quarterback on Tuesday.
Should.
He looked more polished and decisive. He completed 17 of 25 in team drills.
Okay.
He did have 2 interceptions. Mm. And for the second day in a row, he reportedly looked like the best quarterback of the group.
Oh, okay.
So Newton went 9 of 17 with an interception in team drills. Brian Hoyer didn't throw any passes in competitive drills on Tuesday. Sidham went 5 of 17.
Who's reporting this? Is this some blog,
patriotforlife.com? Patriot for Life. I don't know that Patriots fans are necessarily rooting for Mac Jones to be the starter. I mean, that's not what I would be doing if I was a Patriots fan.
Well, I think they're rooting for wins, so whoever it is, they're... I mean, I think they want Mac Jones to be good.
Yeah, I think they want him to be good, but I don't... Like, I don't feel like there's... And now, look, I'm not there, so I'm not a Patriots fan, so I don't know the pulse of that fan base, but I personally think that this is a great situation for both the Patriots and Mac Jones. There's no pressure there. Like, you have Cam Newton. Let him develop. He's not one of those guys that's like, Trey Lance or Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence, where it's like, yeah, we kind of want to see him sooner.
Yeah.
Like, Mac Jones will be out there to me this year if Cam Newton is injured, because I don't think that Cam will ever play bad enough that they're like, let's put Mac Jones in.
No, I think New England's going to make the playoffs. Vegas doesn't, but I do. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Steven Jackson, smart guy, tough guy, honest guy, authentic guy. What did he see last night with the Milwaukee Bucks? It's interesting because Steven was such a great defensive player. They just didn't double KD. They didn't take the ball out of his hands. They didn't trap him at half court to have him give it up. It was an interesting game plan, to say the least. I'm a fan of Dacovas, Austin, Texas-based. Many of their goods made in Mexico. No rush. It's about quality. These boots will be in style in 50 years as they are today. You can't beat timeless. And if you're a Western boot wearer, you should know Dacovas' men's jeans are insanely comfortable. Yep, they make jeans. They fit over boots perfectly. They're made with broken-in Italian denim. Got a hint of stretch to it. And with a standard and slim jean, there is a right fit for everybody. Dacovas now, it's not just about the boots, though they're great. It's jeans. It's pearl snap cotton shirts. It's T-shirts, different styles. It's baseball caps. You could dress head to toe in Dacovas, be comfortable and handsome doing it. Timeless style meets everyday comfort. That says it all with Dacovas. Great place to be. Visit Dacovas.com or one of their many beautiful retail stores near you. Dacovas, walk taller.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Cremo presents a complete line of body wash, body bars, deodorants, colognes, refined scents for the common man. Go to Amazon or CremoCompany.com, C-R-E-M-O. I use their hair gel all the time and their body wash. So Jay Glazer is, you know, Jay Glazer's interesting. Jay Glazer is one of those guys that he reports big stories. He's not sitting on his phone all day. Jay just goes out and gets, he's a big game hunter. So he is, when Jay says something, it's true. So Jay Glazer was on Pat McAfee this morning, talked about Aaron Rodgers. He said, I know Aaron still wants out, without a doubt. Absolutely, still wants out. Every time somebody called the Packers, it was immediately shut down. What these teams need to do is continue to call and continue to call. So it's interesting because Aaron's approach to this, we talked about this yesterday, has very much been deniability. Jerry Jones was once asked, why aren't you on social media? And he said, I want deniability. I don't want to put anything down. Aaron's never getting quoted for any of this stuff. But never forget, April 29th is the biggest day and the biggest weekend for all NFL teams in the offseason, day one of the draft. That's the biggest day for the Packers offseason. On that day, Aaron Rodgers or somebody connected to him leaked to multiple star reporters, I'm unhappy, I want out. Now, we know the Packers didn't leak it, because why would they create that kind of chaos and mayhem going into their biggest weekend of the offseason? Aaron did it right at the start of the draft, 10 minutes before. Three great reporters, all trustable, all reliable, had the same exact information. Folks have been in this business 30 years. Doesn't work that way. It's always staggered. One guy's got it here, one guy an hour later. All three, same time, boom. Somebody on that side leaked it. So Aaron now was not quoted doing it. Aaron wouldn't talk to Mike Tirico at the Kentucky Derby. Hawaii's just having fun. And yesterday, he was very glib and very casual and very indifferent. Here's a sample from him being on that golf match with Brady and Bryson DeChambeau and Mickelson.
You're having a great time. You've really kept a low profile this offseason. I've hardly seen your name at all. You haven't hosted any TV shows or been in and involved in any kind of controversy or anything. It's been a nice, peaceful offseason for you, it sounds like, AR.
Thank you, BA. It's been one of those quiet off seasons you just dream about, where you can just kind of go through your process on your own quietly. And, that's all you can ask for as an older player in the league and someone who's been around for a long time and just enjoys that time to yourself, to just relax, to not be bothered, to not have any obligations or anything going on. And, you know, I think that's what this off season has been about. It's been about really enjoying my time and spending it where I want to spend it and not feeling like I have to go anywhere, not having any responsibilities, but still being an NFL player.
He's coming off very happy. very casual, just kind of indifferent. But remember, he's the one on draft day, his side dropped the bomb. And now Green Bay's got to clean it up. So there was always tension in this relationship, right? Like all relationships, husband, wife, you have tension. That's not the end of it. But if my wife served me papers from a lawyer this morning, all right, that changes the temperature in the room. That's kind of what Aaron did. He had his lawyer serve papers. I refuse to play here. That changes everything. That's different from, could you give me a heads up on my quarterback coach? Could you give me a heads up on Jordy Nelson? That's a couple having a little fight over allowance for one of their kids. That's not a game changer. What Aaron did on draft day messes up the biggest weekend for the Packers or any team. That's serving papers. That's signing up a lawyer and serving your papers and trying to humiliate you. You serve papers when I'm at lunch with my friends. That's trying to humiliate you. You can serve papers a lot of times. Serve it. He's at lunch right now serving papers in front of his buddies. So that's what Aaron did. So now he can be all casual and jokey, but according to Glazer, he wants out. This is serious business. He's presenting, because he's not quoted in any of this, he's got all this culpability. He could say, if they won't trade him. But I think it's fascinating. You know, people have said to me, God, you guys talk Aaron Rodgers. He's the MVP of the league. He's one of the three most important players in the league. And essentially, he has told a legendary franchise, Jay Glazer, I'm out. It's over. And I've always said, if Jordan Love could play, this is very solvable. If Green Bay looks at all this stuff, and they may have to make a determination at some point if Aaron truly will hold out, that can Jordan play? If Jordan can play, I'll go back to my theory on this: is they want him in the AFC. They don't want him to come back and burn him. You do not want Tom Brady coming back to burn you. So when Tom Brady chooses Tampa, I mean, for New England, it's a little bit of a, okay, if we do meet him, it's in the Super Bowl. We'll be fine with that. So, you know, when Belichick trade Garoppolo to the Niners, if we do meet him, it's in a Super Bowl. And I think Green Bay looks at it that way. If we have to face him, he's got to get through Mahomes, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, you know, Lamar Jackson, all these great players. But Jay Glazer said, just keep calling. Just keep calling. So I think the team we all think makes sense, and it does, is Denver. They've got two pass rushers. They've got a very interesting roster, a Pro Bowl left tackle. They have good backs, excellent young receivers, a really good tight end. Denver is that team that, and Tampa, by the way, became that team. God, if Tampa could just get the quarterback right. You can roll your eyes when I say this, but if Denver can just get the quarterback right, that's a Super Bowl potential team. And you laugh at that. But Denver's had a lot of success recently and forever. I've been watching the NFL since 1972. Denver's mostly been good. And they got multiple Super Bowls. They got Super Bowls with Elway. They got one with Peyton Manning. And even when they weren't great at quarterback, Jake Plummer, they were interesting. They were around. So they've had good coaches, great player. They have a good roster. You know, you think about Tampa. Tampa, their history is a mess. I mean, Brady's the first great quarterback they've ever had. And he, just by joining them, I mean, very few people thought, oh, Tampa's winning the Super Bowl. I said, wild card team, be fun. And it changed everything. Aaron Rodgers to Denver, that's a really good football team. Now, I know Mahomes in the same division. I get it. But by the way, when Brady went to Tampa, Drew Brees in the same division, Matt Ryan in the same division, those are good players. He's going to get Hall of Fame votes or, you know, Drew Brees a Hall of Famer. Sean Payton's a Hall of Fame coach. So this is Denver feels right to me. And, you know, there's just not that many teams, Joy. There's not many teams that the young teams have their young quarterbacks. Cincinnati's got theirs, and Cleveland has theirs, and Buffalo has theirs, and Kansas City Chargers have theirs. So you can take off about 10 teams, they have their young quarterback. Then there's another 10 to 15 teams that have a quarterback like a Dak. You're locked in financially. There's not many teams in this league that really need a quarterback. There's probably about six, you could argue, five or six. And there's not, I mean, Denver is right there.
Well, also, they don't want to send him to anywhere in the NFC.
Yeah, so AFC.
So that eliminates an entire conference of options.
And Denver's got two pass rushers. Green Bay wanted J.J. Watt, couldn't afford him.
It's not the only situation that's being eyed for a quarterback. We just saw the story the other day that Deshaun Watson would like to go to Denver. There's obviously a desirable location.
And by the way, Aaron Rodgers, when he found out, remember Mark Schlereth reported that Broncos wanted him. Aaron reached out to Mark, probably because Aaron's like, it's close enough to the West Coast. They got a good rock. Tom Brady, when he was first called by Tampa, remember what Jason Light and Bruce Arians said? Tom knew their whole roster.
Yeah.
Tom's like, you guys need a right tackle. You probably need a second running back. Tom knew the whole roster. Aaron Rodgers isn't sitting around playing backgammon all day. Well, he knows the rosters. He makes a huge difference.
And Denver's, it's not a small city.
No, it's a big-time city.
It's a big city.
That's won championships.
It's won championships. It's got a big reputation.
They just won with an old quarterback, Peyton Manning.
It's not a Peyton Manning or Tom Brady kind of situation, really, because we don't know when Tom is going to retire, obviously, but we don't think he's going to play for the next 8 years. I feel like that's a safe statement.
If Aaron
just won the MVP. Aaron's not on the last 2 years of his career.
Maybe Aaron is sending this out through Glazer. I don't know this. But because Aaron wants to get this thing done fast. Aaron's telling
Green. It's more ideal for Aaron to be moved before the season so he has an offseason with that team.
It best serves Aaron Rodgers to make it clear through his media contacts, I'm not coming. You got to get over it. I'm not showing up. And if he does that, then Green Bay is more willing probably to move off him and get something in return. So if I was Aaron Rodgers and I wanted a camp, I want to go meet my new guys, what I would do is make it very clear. I am not coming. Don't waste your time. So that may be very smart by Aaron.
Yeah. It's more beneficial for Aaron to be moved quickly.
Certainly for Aaron.
Yeah.
All right. Hour 3, Steven Jackson, Rich Kleiman, Kevin Durant, manager.